Now, in this world of unprecedented access to information, our ability to understand science has never been better. But does this translate into informed political decision making? Well, with politics now questioning the science behind some of the most important issues of our time, it's safe to say the answer is no. But how does the scientific community push back? Well, for the first time in 175 years, the science magazine, Scientific American, has formally endorsed a presidential candidate. So what does this mean for the relationship between science and politics? Here to tell us more is Dr. Rod Lamberts, Deputy Director of the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science at the ANU. Dr. Lamberts, welcome to The Daily. How are you?
I'm very well. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Now, we find ourselves in this strange world, right? One where science is constantly questioned in politics and facts are based more around ideology and vested interest rather than scientific truth. How did we get here?
Oh, that's a good question. There are many people who talked about this before. Part of it, it's hard to know where it begins, like where do you untangle this piece of string, but it seems increasing tribalism, you know, the more you don't agree with someone, the more you demonize everything they are and everything they do, rather than just saying, look, I don't agree with you on your scientific or social policy, but the rest of you seems okay. We're now in a position where we kind of seem to think, well, if I don't agree with you on X, then you must be a terrible person all around. And that hasn't helped. So that we're clearly seeing that, you know, in political partisanship and so forth, obviously in the US, but also here. Also, of course, again, this is nothing new. We know that we can find all the information we want that suits our beliefs very easily. You know, we can curate our own news, curate our own information more easily than ever before. So even if we don't do it deliberately, we end up getting, I suppose, kind of what we want to hear if we don't pay attention. So that doesn't help either.
That's so true. We kind of create our own little echo chambers, don't we?
Yeah. And look, as I said, I don't think we necessarily do it deliberately quite often. We just kind of think, oh, I like that. I'll click on that, or I'll follow that person, or I'll like them, friend them, and any other thing you can do. But it just means after a while you don't tend to hear anything else. And it's very easy if you do hear something you don't like to go, and you're out.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. The science magazine, Scientific American, has just endorsed Joe Biden for president. The first endorsement they've made in their 175-year history. Why have they done this and why is it so significant?
Well, this is a big deal because science has been, you know, for want of a better way of putting it, you know, the gentleman's profession. And I mean that not in the sense of masculine, although it has been that too, but in the sense that, you know, one doesn't sully oneself with politics. You know, science is objective and above all that. And lately, which I think is excellent, science in general and august publications like Scientific American have said, you know what, it's too much now. There's too much at stake. And so we really need to start speaking out because it's gotten to a point of insanity, really, where straight up denial of things and facts that are flying in our faces are just they're commonplace. And they're the core of national policies, you know, giant emitters of carbon. The issue with coronavirus, as we've seen, particularly again playing out in the US, but you know, different ways around the country, where around the world, sorry, where stronger denialist kind of leaders, climate or science denialists, like in Brazil, America, and England, have had really shocking effects on their population. So for science to stay quiet now, I think would actually be an abrogation of responsibility, quite frankly. So this is why they've got to stand up and say, you know what, we have something to offer here, and so we're going to offer it. I think it's really good.
What do you think this now weighing into the political sphere, how do you think that will impact science moving forward?
Yeah, in multiple ways. You know, I'm not so naive as to think, wow, if we just get some more scientists in Parliament, everything will be fine. Because we know that part of the problem with this is science, or the excellent and terrible thing is scientists are people too, and they are politically active and involved citizens like anyone else. And there'll be, you know, a difference of opinion based on emotion and tribal belief, culture, history, religion, whatever else it may be as well. But hopefully what this will mean for science is that it sort of lurks in the background, has a stronger voice, or at least a stronger influence. What it might mean, however, in the short term in some countries could be a bit of punishment through funding cuts and things like this, you know, or decisions made by bodies who dole out particularly taxpayer money.
Yeah.
Taking a political lean. That is a risk.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, I wonder if there, if there's concern over funding now.
Look, I think there could be, not entirely, and it depends on your area. So we're seeing, for example, in the budget, you know, a whole bunch of health-related and research-related stuff coming through, it seems, in Australia, which is fine. But in terms of, you know, how scientists might, or people who are related to science like I am, teach or talk to people about social and political issues, that could affect some funding, or funding that's more about critiquing and appreciating where and how science fits into the world. So if you're being critical of a government that doesn't like being criticised, they can, in more or less direct ways, you know, make it more difficult for you to fund yourself, put it that way. So it could happen. However, we could get to a point, I'm hoping, where it's more of a groundswell, where more and more people are demanding with their vote and their voice that we pay attention to this stuff, which means, in principle, we can push government or funders a little harder to act in ways that isn't destroying everything. That's, you know, I'm being extreme, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I get it. And last question before I let you go. To date, have you seen any examples of great scientific and political relationships intertwining anywhere in the world?
Oh, that's a good question. Great relationships. Look, I think there are small examples of it all around the place. I mean, we centre in Canberra here, we have some good relationships with science policy units and so forth. There's a lot of good relationships between science organisations and the media, and that's sort of like a de facto way to get through to politicians. Specifically, though, it seems to be in areas that are a lot more, you know, benign, politically safe. You'll see people working well in certain areas of agriculture, obvious areas of medicine and so forth. And of course, now that you put me on the spot, I can't put my finger on a specific example, but I have a good feeling about it.
That is great. Look, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Rod Lammers. We really appreciate it. It'll be interesting to see how this Scientific American endorsement plays out.
Let's see. Yeah, thank you.